Hi there. I'm up from Waterford for the day to visit my daughter. And I'm a poetry group in Waterford. So I wrote this poem some time ago and I called it House Private because I wrote it for my family because when I die, I don't want to be on view for the whole bloody world. So this was instructions for them. Now that the time has come and I have passed on, please open this envelope in the privacy of my home. With great attention, dear family, cast your eyes down and read my final instructions with loving care and duty. Under no circumstances am I to be waked, nor forsaked. Don't put me in that viewing parlour to be examined by Nellie Tilson in her best feathered hat, or Laura Beacon with her tongue wagging, or Mickey Doyle, who never missed a wake in 50 years, knocking back the whiskies during the Hail Marys. I won't have that Mae McGuttery gawking, nor Lily Hearn, nor John Joe Nash picking his nose at my repose. I won't have them cooing over my ashen corpse, my dismantled hair, touching my cheeks in horror, squeezing my frozen fingers as they circle my shroud, blessing themselves in false reverence and tiptoeing as they embrace my still tabernacle. I can hear them mutter, "She's a lovely corpse." Bless her. Must have had a peaceful death. Not a wrinkle. Liars. Isn't she the lily image of herself? Didn't her poor mother go the same way in her heyday? Heard she had it for years. The doctor, you know who I mean, didn't cop it in time. It must have spread, poor thing. Then old Jim, he'd be lost now. Full of arthritis. He'll need looking after now. On his own, poor soul, with the lads up in Cork. Dear family, keep me miles from those tongue waggers. Let my home be private. Let them remember me in my pink trouser suit and matching scarf. Don't lie me there with my tongue dried up while they sup, unable to answer back all the gossips of the village. Just prop me up for yourselves and the family. I'll be quite at home listening to your sweet words and sad mutterings. Thank you.
Another 20 years anyway, you won't have to worry about it. Thanks very much, Deirdre. Next up we have Donald Maloney.
This is a small piece near the end of a longer story, but instead of explaining it, I'll just read it as a block of prose. When Zabina filed for divorce, I had a breakdown. It wasn't anything dramatic, just random crying and an inability to work. My boss was of the opinion that one breakdown was inevitable for anyone who had worked hard all their lives. The badge of honour, he called it. For the first time ever, he had read me completely wrong. Maybe he was losing his grip on things a little. Or maybe he had always been full of shit. "Get away," he advised me. "Far away." "Have you been to Norway?" he said. In the end, I went to Cork. Went back as a man. As a managing director of one of the most successful businesses in Augsburg. As an emotional wreck. Accustomed to thinking of my time in Cork as a student as full of isolation and silence, I was not prepared for the bombardment of talk that awaited me. People would not shut up. Hotel receptionists, taxi drivers, strangers in the street. There was lots of goodwill, but also lots of people eager to blame me for their country's debts. Angela Merkel is not popular in Ireland, I quickly discovered. but when pushed on it, people can't really articulate why. Spiky as I was in the wake of a divorce, like a broken bottle, I pushed them on it. Why should German taxpayers pay for your bank's debt? I would say. Or, are your wages really competitive? What do you earn, for example? Really that much? For your job in a bankrupt country? Or, if you'd had Angela Merkel as Taoiseach, you wouldn't have got into the mess in the first place. The nastiness was like a physical reaction to pain, as if ethics and morality had got nothing to do with anything. It was like a slashed tire letting all its putrid air out. All the pent-up anger that I felt towards Sabina and myself, and perversely towards Felix Mendelssohn, rushed out at Irish strangers who wanted to talk to me about Angela Merkel and bondholders. After a few days in Cork City, I set out for Beira, where Áine was from. I became that melancholy Frenchman, staying in B&Bs and moping around. I couldn't remember the name of the village she came from, but I had a lot of time on my hands, so I hiked around the peninsula. The solitude was very agreeable. I walked all day and ate big dinners in the evening. B&Bs are an excellent solution to the problem of travelling alone. A little bit of family warmth at the start and end of the day is enough to sustain anyone. Also, after all these years, I finally found out what a hot press was. Even if no one could satisfactorily explain to me why you needed all that space to dry towels. As I wandered around, I sometimes imagined what it would be like to meet Áine. Who knows, maybe she had moved home and started a family here. Maybe she and her great love Francis ran a farm or a B&B. But believe me when I say I wasn't holding a torch for her. Hold the torches, is that the right idiom? If I bumped into her and say we had a coffee together, the only thing I'd be looking for, essentially I mean, would be an insight into why my life went wrong. Clearly it was just as well for her that we didn't meet. Imagine some inarticulate emotional wreck of a guy you'd slept with 2 decades ago, showing up in your remote corner of the world and looking for the answer to that. When I reached the tip of the peninsula, I decided to take the cable car to Dursey Island. While waiting for it to arrive, I read the sign erected to the memory of 4 Luftwaffe pilots who died when their plane crashed nearby in 1943. Although, as I realized when contemplating the sign, it's probably more accurate to say that it was erected to the memory of the crash. A Junkers Ju-88 it was, an aircraft I could picture in my mind from the models I had made of it as a child. I shared the cable car with a young couple who cuddled and took selfies. When we dismounted on the island, I climbed to the top of its hill and looked down the other side of, on the land sloping off the sea and a little huddle of stone walls and houses at the bottom. The shadows of clouds swooped over the ground. I climbed higher to the cliffs on the western edge. Lying down on my belly, I stretched my neck over the sea below. And it all did my romantic German heart good. In my rucksack, I had a thick pullover and an anorak, along with a good supply of pumpernickel and maasdam sourced from a Lidl in Clonakilty. It was hours before the last cable car went back. Time to be still for a while. There is something about Ireland, it seems, that brings out the German in me. Having reached the edge of Europe, looking over the Atlantic, I did not think about Ireland on this side or the Americas on the other. No, my thoughts went back to the center of Europe, the heart of Germany. I'll leave it there.
Thank you, William. Well, good stuff. And next we have Ray Hanrahan.
Right, this one's fairly brief. I wrote it today. I was off visiting a psychiatrist today, so that tells you, I suppose, something about me, but I suppose you can work it out for yourself. Called Mental Wellness. Waiting to see the psychiatrist in a room with the TV on in full consumer come and get it mode. uniform fashions for the new school year, how to dress in one suitcase for the Holliers. If that don't float your mental boat, then peruse the glossy gossip magazines, the endless parade of royalty and pop stars. Yeah, that's what us sickos really need, to drown in everyday fantasy.
Thanks, Ray. And now we have Liam Heafy. I might have to give a little minute to get up here. Liam, you're up. Yep.
Standing, of course. Oh, sorry.
Speak up!
I hold your wish. How many glasses I can raise?
It's as low as it goes now.
Thank you. That's good. Yeah. This is a piece called North Side. Shandon clock tower standing square, declining upwards to catch a fish, looking down and golden a spurra like a Montanotti aristocrat. Here the anchorage greeted cargoes from Cathay, from Cadiz, Cathay and other exotic places. Merchants imported wines, perfumes and silks for their wives, daughters, and others of their ilk. Shannon Street, steep, from Northgate Bridge to Cathedral Street, is but a salmon's leap. In Town of what?
Yes.
The second piece called Metamorphosis. And falling snowflakes tumble downwards from a darkened sky, twirling helter-skelter to where they would lie. Moaning winds drive each pale piece onto silent drifts by wall and hedge, waiting for the thawing kiss of a warming breeze. Afterwards transforming into water, which is overcome by grass and flowers. And this, the third piece, is called Cold Comfort. Cycling beside me, in penetrating cold, your pinched face, gloveless hands, stirred my remorse. In pleasant warmth, those fingers thawed with surging pain. Smiling to me, you were silent. Shinna Will.
That was definitely worth waiting for, because I know the week before last, Liam, you arrived and you just missed the open mic, and then you came last week and we didn't get to put your name on the list, so third time lucky, so we get 3-1 and we're very lucky. Thank you, Liam. Thank you. Next on the list is John Tagney.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Liam.
Okay, these are two very short linked poems called Evening and Morning.
evening. Mary opens the door one evening, and the sharp air makes me look up from the RTE guide. I think she's premenstrual. She tells me she's tired of explanations. Come and look at this, she cries. Along the fence at the end of the yard, the cat is staring hard at a small bird against the yellow sky. Morning. The front door opens on a street I've seen before 1,000 times. The lady from across the way in dressing gown and slippered feet picks her paper from the ground. Her breast comes loose, her hair is wild, and seeing me, her face betrays implacable ferocity. She goes indoors for tea and news of yesterday's atrocities.
Thanks, John. Now we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Rosie. This is called irritation. Thinking beyond the orange box, cramped and stuffy, outliving purpose. Seeing fates as a simple story. Murdering mysteries of sealed pit. Something to write home about. A surfeit of probabilities, a reality pinned down for reference. Identity caught. Magpie picking jewels as his want. Staring at the mirror, what is truth? Scintillating through makeup, is this reality? Tie up your hair in interestingly. You set the pace, whatever we want, what we see. Don't fear the informer, she's doing her best. Underneath the skin of doggerel. I will be there, measuring my own needs, and observing privacy in its purest form. The magpie flies. The box folds in on itself. The mirror remains, mocking your esteem. Essential paintbrushes send your ground. Perfume and no ranger, an unrecordable sin. What stays here stays here. How you are seen remains paramount, an exhibit of sin. A rainbow of possibilities purporting mortification of a soul, torture to non-entity. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. And next we have Niall Herriot.
This is called Bird Uncaged. It was dedicated to Charlie Bird Parker and some of the great jazz names. But after Katrina, Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath, I kind of dedicated it to the people of New Orleans as well. Jazz, black but universal. A four-letter flurry from a New Orleans den. Music in a hurry. To grab solace now and then. Hear that old sax wail, a scream from wretched folk. A strange fruit hangs on a twisted southern oak, and hate bears its fangs. Jazz, a language of protest, torn in bloody ragtime from the womb of dark despair. But you can buy it for a dime, play it without a care. Voice of a stolen people, bittersweet whispered soft in a brass-lined throat, and frenzy thrown aloft to reach the perfect note. Thrumming joy or pain, love child of the blues, jazz plucks the strings of hearts lifted by booze while the fat lady sings. Jazz trumpets carnival, music that feels good as sin, catharsis for all the sorrow, feeling black under the skin. Living today, not tomorrow. Tune in. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Now we have sorry, I just forgot. Owen Murray.
I wrote this when I was 17, so I might put on a bit of a 17-year-old voice or something. The stream, first encounter. I sway over the stream with one foot on a rock and study with my eyes the dips and flaws and dives, the broken branches, the weathered rocks, even the weeds, all brothers of a single dream, sing to me from the stream. My head begins to bow into a darker deep, when suddenly it catches me, riding the dips tangled in weeds, a feather dancing in its sea. Forgotten star, betrayed to gravity, and what are we but feathers caught within a stream?
Are you also the dancing queen? Alright, next up we'll have Jude, please.
This doesn't actually have a title. I bite my lip and hold my tongue polite. I show brave face and swear that it's all grand. That goddamn social construct I can't abide by how those flighty fancies define our thrive. I'll take your hand and Christ I won't let go. Forget, for God so loved this world, but love me too. He gave me heart and then in spite a mind, for God can't hold a love as raw as mine. Oh, you can pray and hope he'll have my soul on judgment day, but that won't be my goal. For if he finds me turned and half asleep, I'll tell him then it's for my love I keep a hold on mine, on vice and virtue strong, and for my love I live in eternal song. But if you pray for hell my soul to keep, I pray for you, your own love, find you deep among the brambles, thorns and weeds so old, where you have spent your love in hellish cold. You own and serve the very hate you own and serve the very hate you damn, twill fester then and spread to your own man. And then I pray your man for to escape that anti-human sadness filled with hate. For I so love the world in all its good, I will protect my world and away from you. And I'll share love, and love again I'll show. To cure the human illness, then's my goal. Throughout all this, my human life and yours, I will hold love abroad and bring it tours. And if that day should come where you turn on, I'll hold you to abreast my prodigal son.
Ye old young man. Very good. And now we have ye old Mary O'Connell.
Okay, this is something that happened a good while back. A truck overturned and chickens went all over the road. It's called Clucking Hell. In Cavan at the crack of dawn, an accident occurred. A lorry landed on its side. The driver's voice was slurred. 600 chickens bit the dust when tipped out on the road. But instead of going on the run, a hen party ensued. Not egging one another on to make their great escape, the silly flockers just sat down while drivers looked agape. Some chicks were plucked to safety while others just laid low. Keeping abreast of such a mess made drivers rather slow. Hens even started laying eggs on the highway's dotted line. Free range, of course, but they were poached by drivers caught for time who didn't want to shell out for a meal at vast expense, fearing that their imperfect past would make their future tense. The Gardaí who surveyed the scene put warnings on display. A statement issued later said, no question of foul play.
But why did the chicken grab the road? Come on, tell us now. Why?
Okay, next up we have Lizzie Foley, please.
Can't follow that. So, this is actually a song that was a poem first, and then I finished the song and not the poem, so. I wander the universe. My head is up with the stars. Feet on the ground, I'm the tallest person in life. Sit on my shoulders, you could talk to God. I dive in the deepest seas. My body is lost in the dark. And I can't swim, but I'm the deepest person alive. Safe from the pressure, I've been here so long. I fly in the bluest skies. My wings are capturing clouds. Up with the birds, I'm the highest person alive. Farther to fall, or farther to climb. And I exist in between the streams of intertwined imagination and real life. And I don't want to leave, because here, I am alive.
No worries, but you can follow anybody anytime. Next up we have Cedric, please.
So this one is actually a second part of a mini story that I'm trying to write down. Should I go with the let's say long version, which means the first part, or should I go with the short version?
How many minutes are there?
Let's say 2 minutes for the first part. And another 2 minutes for the second one.
It's okay.
So the first part was written somewhere in February, called That Brain Named Itself. It's a story more than a poem, remember. Using one of the patches from a newly found box, she mended the armor, then proceeded to rub it with dirt. If well concealed, no one should notice she used one of those so rare supplies. Who would know? She climbed back in the exoskeleton, moving shell for her life, now for rare. As the thought played in her mind, reading the memory of the history classes, she could not help but smile at the idea that went out of the machine. The population seemingly doubled. The radio rang. The mission was over. Wildlife had conquered the space that was once filled with mankind. Green had swallowed down the gray after the pink tore itself bloody. Yet, in guilt, she couldn't help but find the sight breaking. She closed the hatch back into the man's greatest achievement. Shielded from the outside, she turned the volume to the classic track. Those niggas in Paris must have seen the best of the world once had to offer. The click of the landmine came in sync with the beat. The part is called Reflection. The Mayflower's signal had not been received for more than 16 cycles. No one in the team was very inclined to participate in the search for various reasons. The sortie was unlawful, and 16 cycles out there was a death flag for whomever had no functioning exoskeleton. Nature, once a mistreated friend, had finally turned into a fearsome foe. Legion of slimy moths invading, diverse in shape, would corrode the toughest ballistic shells, a nemesis whose threat with surface would grow. The three unit squad waddled up to the latest known location of the beacon. They were very happy with their finest scientist find, polymer paddle sole, protecting the organic inspired limb of the machines. They were there. The radars were constellated with live signs, but the one they came for was missing. Aggression was thick, yet invisible, hidden in hearts and bushes. They did not like her, and she could be dead for all they cared. But now, by order, they could meet her fate. Carr, the captain, called his subordinate for morale in an attempt to raise it. The minute that followed, he could have sworn he heard the lifeline of his second snap along with his mind when the barrel of the Vulcan cannon ran empty. He was lucky, he thought, when his own weapon failed to fire.
How lucky are we, huh? Next up, Max Cregan, please.
Right, this evening, no choice, right? So I team it for the readers. Rare fruit. In a snow cocoon of hand-stitched flannel, Greta eased her newborn into a fruit basket. Perched on the shop counter, scales, she weighed progress to the delight of customers. Oh, ma'am, she's half-reared and ready for school. She was very lovely. A purple velvet robe was trimmed with cream lace colour. She would work till her night back. The babies would arrive overnight, delivered by morning by the mail car. The only clue of arrivals would be a stepladder appearing at her linen closet to retrieve her treasure. A white satin valance with plump indigo cherubs was secreted till the very last. And at the secret sign, Greta would wash it in luxe soap flakes, iron with care, and drape the frill around her wooden cribs. Later, the prams would rock to the hum and whine of grain mill. Men in the mill would file by with grease tattoos. Ibu tribe, Zaro, all sorts of tattoos. And sometimes they had so much flour pancake makeup on, they looked like Japanese theatre guys. On wet days, they wore a habit of brown brand bags overhead. They weighed their produce on a huge scale and would say, yes, the puppies will come soon. A new stray kitten is on the cement bags. And of course we weigh you with the flour bags for ballast. The babes would progress to a ringside view and they'd be promoted to an empty tea chest. This was the norm in a West Cork village. All the friends had empty tea chests for playpens too. They came from the east, from Woodford, Burns and from Musgraves. Da would road test the tea by leaf and by blend until, like his father before him, he would declare tea like wine. This apartment ceiling was prized open by a crowbar and rendered safe by hammering back all nail heads to the rim. A retreat for a child to shelter or a royal box to grandstand. Its aroma was heavy with musky dusk. An epic night followed the weighing and measuring by shovel in two little white tea bag packages, and everyone would clamber in turn. Customers would expect wobbly dances and baby song. They would perform too and cluck and shape up to thus. An obligatory tumble would evacuate chubby passengers. Itchy dust would fill the air, and that itch would catch, firing up the bug for travel in all of us at an early age, dreaming of exotic places of origin. Jamaica bananas, Van Houten Dutch chocolate, Seville oranges. Did we mention Indian tea? A jump from a fruit basket to a treasure chest of tea. A world of special brew to taste and savour. Tutti frutti, chin chin and all that. Plump, juicy fruit to weigh. That's it.
Thanks, Mags. And now we have Matthew Moynihan.
I'm glad there was a few more poems after Mary's before mine. You would have been a tough chick to follow.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
No, it wasn't.
So, this... this was a poem I wrote during a little restorative holiday I had there recently. It's called Suspended Animation. Hailstones fall like diamonds here in this cold, cruel, cutting sphere. There is no movement, no orbit, only a bitter ball of ice in suspended animation. Light has deserted the plane, the moon has stolen the sun, and the stars, the interstellar etch-a-sketch, fell away like droplets of rain. Yet there is hope. That want not wind that stabs us daily requires just one spark, one flurry, for orbit to return.
Good to have you back, Matthew. And now,
Mr. Groovy, Kieran McCarty.
He doesn't need to stand. He never needs to stand.
This. Okay, here you go. It's for you. Thanks, Rosie. Not a lot. This is called High Maintenance. This is called High Maintenance. Am I worth your tortured time? The checks and balances of high maintenance, the dust of your line, a lineage of resounding patience. A lineage of resounding patience. Sorry, I'm going to start again, that threw me there. Yeah, throw me off there, buddy. Shut up, all right?
We have to edit that MP3, you know.
It's all good.
Breathe. High maintenance. Am I worth your tortured time? The checks and balances of high maintenance, the dust of your line. A lineage of astounding patience. Grow into the future with a shotgun in your hand and shoot daisies out the end until laughter has cleared the heavy air of fear, wrapping itself around a shook heart in the recovery position, a blanket soothing frantic. So that you can say to your grandfather when next you meet that you never shot the bullet that killed him. Keeping him alive in your every action and knowing what it is to learn from yourself. All I require for your friendship is the keys to your house and safe of your soul, breath of your mouth, intake of your toll. How much must I lose to balance what I've taken? What now will be shared now my appetite is wed to the future? What passes before my eyes unrecognized as I conceive and devise with the thieving gift of foresight? What is to come will but now might. In a dimness with a bright beyond a bright beyond the horizon of a mountain of perception is the prize. And no thanks is given to the comfort brought by soft light to the eyes. Wait along with me keeping laughter light with weight enough to dance along the surface of the air. Cure my gasping breath with a sonic gin and tonic. Hydrate. Draw bow reed across cello string, polyphonic. Stimulate. Draw deep the breath of all you ever wanted to say to any version of you or I through the end of a cigarette and feel meniscus rise, space filling with regret. Look longingly at your prize and know what it is to feel air full of regret on your skin and how your iris adjusts to the changing shape of your prize or to change the shape of your prize. Go then, learn then, but don't you ever do it again until you do again. And give yourself a number between 1 and 10 and know what it is to be graded by someone whom with you are at war. And know that in that state, work that you make, that you hate, might save someone's life. A light beyond a sphere of shadow, bright beyond the horizon of a mountain of perception, your prize. Come home. To feel soft light on your eyes, know I've kept safe the key of your house near the river, flow gently with me as a stream of wisdom takes us back to the sea. Keep safe your mind, the dust of your line, maintain it highly, be highly maintained.